Hello there. Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak. Come on in. Make yourself at home. It's always great to be back with you here on the show. Thank you for stopping by. You know the deal. I got a table reserved. I got a chair reserved at the table for you. You and I, we're going to talk for the next 30 minutes about the mass readings for the 10th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The message is God's infinite mercy. Now, it's interesting. This weekend, our Sunday Mass is really the first time in a long time that we can say that we are celebrating or commemorating a Sunday in Ordinary Time. Because if you remember, even though we've been in Ordinary Time for a few weeks now, we've had these big solemnities taking place. We had Pentecost Sunday, we had Trinity Sunday, we had Corpus Christi. So this Sunday, we are looking at the 10th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And what a great topic to talk about, God's infinite mercy. He is infinitely merciful. More than anything else, he wants to forgive us and do whatever he can to make sure that we stay close to him and that we live forever with him in heaven. Now, it is possible that we reject his mercy. And sometimes, you know, we'll talk more about this when we look at the gospel, but sometimes we do it simply by not asking for it, not asking for forgiveness, or thinking maybe this is unforgivable. That's not true. There is no sin which is unforgivable. We just have to remember to do our part, to have some contrition for what we did wrong, and to ask for that forgiveness. And typically, we do that through the sacrament of confession. And to vow that with the help of the Lord's grace that we're not going to do it again. But if we do that, we're going to be forgiven, even the greatest sin. So look, I want to tell you before I even start the show, if you've done something, if you're carrying around the guilt of some sin, don't. Get right with God. Take advantage of that great mercy that he offers. I know I'm giving too much away. We didn't officially start the show, but man, I just can't resist talking about that. But anyway, why don't we do this? Why don't we pray before I talk too much more, and then we'll look at the Mass readings for the 10th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Please join me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for allowing us to have this time with you. Father, we thank you for adopting us as your children. We thank you for being merciful. Infinitely merciful. We thank you for sending Jesus into the world to redeem us, to die for our sake, so that we could live with you forever in heaven. Father, we ask you to open all of our hearts and all of our minds today as we listen to these readings so that we can hear the message that you have for us, that we can hear the correct message that you have for us, and that we could put it into practice in our lives. Father, I ask that you give me the words. Let me know what I'm supposed to say. I want to deliver your message, Father. Let me know what I'm supposed to say. And as I always do, Father, I ask these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for tuning in. Again, I'm Gary Zimak. Always a pleasure to be able to spend this time with you, these 30 minutes on the program. I just want to give you a couple of quick pieces of information. Sometimes I neglect to do this at the start of the program, but I want to make sure that if you want to find out more about my work, including all of my books or my daily email reflection, or possibly book me to come in to give a talk or a parish mission or a retreat at your parish or your conference, I want you to know that you can find out all that information by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. If you have any questions, any comments, you know, anything you need, please always feel free to reach out either by going to followingthetruth.com and using the contact form, or emailing me directly at gary@followingthetruth.com, G-A-R-Y @followingthetruth.com. So, you know, it's important that you and I stay connected. And that's one of the ways that we are able to do that, We're able to do that through the website. Always feel free to reach out if you know any need anything. And as I always tell you, I typically say this at the end, but I'll say it at the beginning too, and probably at the end. I pray for you every day, and I'm going to continue to do so. I would ask you to please pray for me as well. Please pray for me and my family. I would greatly appreciate it. We would all appreciate it. All right, so let's look at this gospel now. As we always do, if you're new to the program, the way I do this is when I look at the Sunday Mass readings, I start with the gospel. We let the gospel lead the way, which is really the way the church designs it. And then the other readings, the first reading, the second reading, and the responsorial psalm, they are used to supplement the gospel. So let's start with the gospel. And yeah, the reason I think it's important to do it this way is that when you look at the gospel that's chosen for Sunday Mass in ordinary time, there are a number of different messages that can emerge out of the gospel. But when you look at the first reading and the responsorial psalm in particular, those two pieces, and pair them up with the gospel, you generally get a more refined theme, like a specific theme, which is the theme that the church wants us to get out of these readings. So that's the way I do it. And again, I always pray before the show. I pray with you as well to ask the Lord to give me the words so that I can deliver the message that I think he wants me to deliver. And this week, I believe it's about God's infinite mercy. So with all of that in mind, let's look at the gospel. The gospel comes from Mark chapter 3, verses 20 through 35. Jesus came home with his disciples. Again, the crowd gathered, making it impossible for them even to eat. When his relatives heard of this, they set out to seize him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." The scribes who came from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he drives out demons." Man, I could stop the gospel right there and we would have plenty to talk about. Isn't that incredible? The relatives of Jesus said he is out of his mind, you know? So don't be surprised, you know, this is not the main theme, but don't be surprised when you start to talk about Jesus and to give your life to him. People are going to think you're a little nutty. That's okay. That's what they thought of him as well. All right, back to this gospel. Summoning them, he began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. That is the end of him. But no one can enter a strong man's house to plunder his property unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder the house. Amen, I say to you, all sins and blasphemies that people utter will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an everlasting sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." His mother and his brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent word to him and called him. A crowd seated around him told him, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." But he said to them in reply, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking around at those seated in the circle, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." You know, there's, again, you know, I said at the start of this show, there, before we did the readings, there's so many different messages in this gospel. But when I look at the first reading, the responsorial psalm, what really stands out to me is God's infinite mercy. And if you notice, Jesus talked about all sins and blasphemies that people utter will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an everlasting sin. And I've read many different interpretations of this. It's very confusing, isn't it? Like an unforgivable sin? I didn't think that was possible. And I remember reading what St. John Paul II wrote about this particular gospel when he said that if we don't ask for forgiveness, we're not going to be forgiven for our sins. And really, when it comes down to it, that's the unforgivable sin. The one we don't ask for forgiveness for. That's the unforgivable sin. We've got to be willing in humility to admit that we've sinned and ask for forgiveness. Because if not, we're not going to be forgiven because we didn't ask. Not because God's forgiveness and mercy isn't infinite. It is infinite. It's because we didn't ask. Or we don't think we need forgiveness. It's tricky, isn't it? Sometimes we don't think we can be forgiven. Sometimes we think, well, I didn't do anything wrong. I know what the church teaches, but I don't think I did anything wrong. That's not a humble position. We can be forgiven for any sin that we commit, provided we want that forgiveness and we're willing to do what's necessary to obtain it. Namely, if it's a mortal sin, to go to confession, to confess it, and to vow that to the best of your ability, with the help of God's grace, you're not going to do it again. You know, it doesn't mean you won't do it again, but at that moment in time, that has to be your intention. That I don't want to do this again. And God, I'm going to cooperate with the grace you give me so that I do my best to not commit this sin again. That's the attitude we have to have if we expect to be forgiven. But if we have that attitude and we take advantage of the sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of penance or confession, then we will be forgiven. Our sin is not unforgivable, no matter how serious it is. But we can turn it into an unforgivable sin by either refusing to go along with what the church is asking of us, namely to try our best not to commit it again and to confess it. You know, so when you hear unforgivable sin, I remember the first time I heard that, I said, wow, that's something pretty bad. How can a sin be unforgivable? Well, it's because we don't ask for that mercy of God to be poured out on us. So ultimately, the unforgivable sin is only unforgivable if we're unwilling to do what's necessary to ask for God's mercy. Let's look at the first reading now. And I think you'll see an element of this. I think you'll see an element of this in the first reading. Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 through 15. After the man Adam had eaten of the tree, the Lord God called to the man and asked him, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." Then he asked, "Who told you you were naked? You have eaten then from the tree of which I had forbidden you to eat." The man replied, "The woman who you put here with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, so I ate it." The Lord God then asked the woman, "Why did you do such a thing?" The woman answered, "The serpent tricked me into it, so I ate it." Everybody's passing the buck here, right? Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you shall be banned from all the animals and from all the wild creatures. On your belly you shall crawl, and dirt shall you eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike at your head, while you strike at his heel." And that's the conclusion of the first reading for today's Mass. But what we see there is a couple of things. The first thing was Adam is afraid and he's hiding from God instead of asking for forgiveness. He's making excuses. Eve does the same thing, as does the serpent. But then what the Lord God does, and this is an example of that infinite mercy that he displays, that he's always willing to display, he proclaims that this original sin, it's a big deal. It created a rift between man and God, but there's a Savior on the way. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers," he speaks to the devil and says. "He will strike at your head while you strike at his heel." And the church interprets this, called the Proto-Evangelium, which is the first gospel. This is the message God saying to mankind, a Savior is on the way. Sometimes we look at the words, the wording's a little confusing, but we see that reference to the woman and the offspring of the woman who will strike at the head of the evil one. A strike at the head of the serpent is considered fatal. Satan is striking at the same time at his heel. That's not fatal. So that's the suffering that takes place in this world. The evil one causing problems. The evil that happens in this world. But ultimately, Jesus will be victorious. And that's what God is saying here. Through a woman, I'm going to send you a Savior. I'm going to fix this. It's going to take a while, but I'm going to fix this. And why does he do this? Because he's merciful. And Jesus died on the cross for you and I. And he pours out his grace on us to enable us to live a life of holiness. Not by ourselves, but through the help of his grace and the working of what the Holy Spirit. But we have to cooperate with the grace that the Lord gives us. So we have a part to play. We can obtain forgiveness and start over, start fresh. But we got to ask for it first. So yes, God is merciful. But we can't presume that we don't have to do anything. And we're going to have no problem making it to heaven. We do have a role to play. The responsorial psalm really continues to emphasize that mercy theme. Psalm 130, with the Lord, there is mercy and fullness of redemption. Mercy and fullness of redemption. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my voice in supplication. With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption. If you, O Lord, mark iniquities, Lord, who can stand? But with you is forgiveness, that you may be revered. With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption. I trust in the Lord. My soul trusts in his word. More than sentinels wait for the dawn. Let Israel wait for the Lord. With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption. For with the Lord is kindness, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all their iniquities. With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption. And essentially that's the promise that God made in the garden when Adam committed that sin. God said, I'm going to fix it, but it is going to take time. And it did take time. That's the thing about God. He's got his own schedule. He doesn't operate on our schedule. Phew. Don't you wish he did, right? Sometimes you think like, oh my gosh, what is going on? Why is God not answering? Where are you, God? Don't you know that I need this answered? But he's got his own schedule and you can't force him. But in the end, that's the best thing because he knows what's right. His timing is perfect. Our timing is not always perfect. Very rarely is our timing perfect. We want things right away. And oftentimes, that's not what's best for us. Let's look at the second reading now, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 13, all the way through chapter 5. So it starts at 4, verse 13, through chapter 5, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, Paul writes, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We too believe, and therefore we speak, knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and place us with you in his presence. Everything indeed is for you, so that the grace bestowed in abundance on more and more people may cause the thanksgiving to overflow for the glory of God. Therefore, we are not discouraged. Rather, although our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to what is seen, but to what is unseen. For what is seen is transitory, but what is unseen is eternal. For we know that if our earthly dwelling, a tent, should be destroyed, we have a building from God, a dwelling not made with hands, eternal in heaven. So, you know, we can see this connection. And, you know, the second reading is tricky when it comes to Sundays in ordinary time, because the second reading proceeds sequentially. The way it works is, like the gospel, next Sunday, if it's a regular Sunday in ordinary time, we'll read the next chunk of the gospel, as well as the next chunk or passage, it's probably more appropriate word, of the second reading. The first reading, however, in the responsorial psalm, they're always different. They are always handpicked to match the gospel. But you know, when we look at this second reading, and I always like to take that on as a challenge, figuring the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing, and there is some commonality between the second reading as well and the other readings. And I think we found it here when Paul writes about that when our earthly dwelling is destroyed or is over, when our time on earth is over, we have a building from God, a dwelling not made with hands, eternal in heaven. And he also talks about that grace bestowed in abundance. That grace bestowed in abundance. In order to reach our heavenly home, we need grace. We can't do it on our own. We're not going to be able to sustain the effort necessary to remain holy on our own without the help of God's grace. But if we cooperate with the grace that he gives us, showing his mercy to us, forgiving our sins, helping us along the way, lifting us up from our misery, if we cooperate with that grace, we're going to be able to reach that heavenly home. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. It's all about God's mercy. But, you know, the thing we have to remember is, and we've been, you know, it's the same message I've been talking about through the entire show. We can't just run away from God's mercy. It's not automatic. It's there, yes. But we need to make sure we ask for it. We accept it. We do what's necessary to receive that forgiveness that God wants us to have. But if we do that, and essentially what we're talking about is cooperating with the grace, not working against it, not being proud and saying, I don't need this grace, or I can do this on my own. If we do that, we're going to receive that forgiveness, which is basically flowing from God's mercy. It's an outpouring of his mercy. Don't ever make that mistake. We do it often, but try not to make the mistake of trying to become holy on your own. Always ask for help. It's not just a matter of gritting our teeth and trying our best to follow God's will. It's leaning on his mercy and tapping into that grace that he gives us. Yeah, there is work involved, but the work involved is nowhere near what it would be if we were trying to do it on our own. None of us are going to become holy on our own. It is absolutely impossible for any of us to think we're going to get to heaven without the help of God's grace. It just can't happen. But sometimes we get a little proud, even though we don't realize it. We get a little proud. We fail to ask for help. We think, oh, we got this. We can just do this. We don't have to ask for help. Ask for that help. Ask for God's grace to help you. If you're having trouble with a particular person, or a situation, or maybe a sin that you just keep committing over and over again, don't make the mistake of trying to fix it on your own. Ask God to help. Ask him to give you the grace that you need. I think sometimes we fail to recognize that grace is real and that we need it. And that if we pray for grace, we pray for God's help, that we'll get it. I think sometimes we forget that, or we just don't think it's going to really help because we don't always see the immediate results. That's a very common problem. But by faith, we continue to ask. We continue to believe, even if we might not feel it or see the results. We continue to ask for that grace. God's always going to give it. But it's up to us to ask for it and then to cooperate with us, with it. But nonetheless, all these readings point to the fact that God is merciful. Don't do what Adam did. Adam was afraid. Adam ran away and tried to hide. But as you see, you can't hide from God. Adam learned that. You can't hide from God. God is merciful. But we need to do something. We need to do something to receive his mercy. I want to thank you for listening to the program today. And as I said at the beginning of the show, if you want to find out more about my work, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. If you would like to invite me to speak at your parish or your conference, please get in touch with me through the website or email me directly at gary@followingthetruth.com. I would also appreciate it as we get into the summer months. These months can be lean for those of us who speak professionally. I could certainly use some extra donations to keep my full-time ministry going. So you can donate securely online by going to followingthetruth.com. There's a donate tab. You just click on that. You'll be redirected to PayPal where you can make a donation, again, totally securely. And it would really help me. It'll help to sustain my ministry and enable me to keep doing this show, my daily podcast as well, and my daily email reflections, and to do whatever I can to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So again, followingthetruth.com is the place to go. I'm going to keep praying for you every day. Please continue to keep me and my family in your prayers. I really can feel your prayers, and I do appreciate them. I really do. Thank you so much for every week for showing up. I know I tell you I have a seat at the table for you, but you've got to willingly come to the room and take that seat. And you do it week after week. And I'm grateful. I don't know how many years we've been doing this show for, but it's been a long time now. And I'm so blessed to be able to do this. Again, you're in my prayers. Hope you have a fantastic week. Remember, God's mercy is infinite. You just got to receive it. We'll talk to you next time. God bless you.